Welcome to the Social Expedition. Delivering your high-octane social fuel. This is show number 17, January 28th, 2010. Show number, wow, we're going to be up to
17.
We're going to be up to 20 soon.
We will be.
Pretty much.
And then what? Then what? It'll be February.
Well, it will be 21.
No. I was just trying to think of
22.
Yeah. Mr. Wise
then
Guy.
Then 23. Okay.
And scene. And then it'll be February.
Yeah. No. I mean, it's February next week already.
I know. It's, what's going on?
People are still adjusting to 2010. I don't know. Something's happening.
There's the passage
more and
of time?
More and more new stuff all the time, rapidly coming out, like today with
the iPad. The most ridiculous name.
I want to see the book about the iPad jokes. There's got to be one somewhere.
Well, there's already been a novel's worth happening today.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, it's easy. Like, wait till they come out with the next version, the iPad Maxi.
It's pretty ridiculous. I mean, I was thinking earlier, why is it that we don't have, like, the office perv? Can we just pass it on? Can we, everything that happens, like our marketing team, can we just pass it through the one guy and be like, come up with something awful about this? Just to double check it, you know? And I mean, they clearly, if they had done that, they would have known that the iPad was not a good idea.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, I look forward to seeing it. I think, you know, whatever name it has, I look forward. I think there's a lot of utility in something like that.
It just seems like a big, huge iPod or iPhone to me. Like, I don't know.
In a lot of regards, it is, but it's much more fully featured. One thing that I like that I'm actually kind of sold on is the fact that one of the docks you can buy for it has a hardware keyboard. So, you know, even though the on-screen keyboard is big and much nicer than the iPhone keyboard, you've got an actual hardware keyboard you can use with it.
Can you imagine that someday, you know, the way like Matthew likes to bang on the keyboard, if he's got his iPad, he's clicking away and then we hear like a crack.
He would crack his tablet.
Yeah, he would.
Matthew's a rhythmic typer. That would be awful. Excuse me, not his tablet.
Well, okay,
his iPad. Pardon me.
So what is the deal? I mean, has it hit the streets? Is it like, okay, here's...
I think what I read was 60 days for the version without 3G.
So we're talking like the end of the quarter?
Basically.
I believe so,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's going to be an additional 30 days for the 3G version to go through FCC approval process.
Okay. Wow. Well, that's good. That's good. I could go for a bigger iPhone thing. If I could carry it around like a notebook, I mean like a paper notebook, you know,
right.
Like a computer, I would do it.
I think that's a recipe for disaster for me because I will end up damaging it in some way. Like, portable stuff is great, and I want portable technology. I like it, but I'm so hard on it. And I know that, you know, it could be a recipe for disaster, unless it's a fairly durable machine.
I see.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, I know AT&T promised tethering through the iPhone by the end of last September, and I still haven't seen anything about that because it's AT&T, but I plan on doing a lot of traveling in the next couple of years, and something like an iPad would be really great with that 3G connectivity. The fact that it's contract free, and so, you know, you can sign up for a month of prepaid 3G service at a time.
So if you were traveling, you could make plans to do that. That's pretty nice.
Now, so contract free, does that mean it's you get to pick your own carrier kind of thing, or what?
Unfortunately not, but it is unlocked.
Give us the bad news. Who's the carrier?
The carrier is, unfortunately, AT and FNT.
Tell us how you really feel, Matthew. Just in case you're listening, AT&T, never hurt my feelings. Never did anything bad to me.
You know, I mean, the fact that Apple doesn't do a whole lot of social networking, I think, comes to light here with a move like that. I mean, you know, people are not going to be happy about that. So, but I know plenty of people that are. Would you say the price point was?
Well, they start at about $500, and the huge 64 gigabyte 3G version, which is the most expensive version they have, I think it tops out at $829.
Oh, wow.
It's okay. Wait till next year. You'll be able to get it on sale for
$350. Yeah, they need some competition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can use it as a phone, too, right? You can
Well, not exactly. You can, like, load the Skype app onto it, I'm sure, and be able to use it that way. Yeah, I mean, so it's not a straight-up phone. Okay. It's basically a tablet computer with 3G connectivity.
All right, so that was the big news. So I guess the other thing is we'll see what Obama has to say tonight and have more to talk about, you know, next week. But all right,
secondary to the iPad is the State of the Union.
So I noticed earlier today there was some lot of talk about people actually jumping on to the White House fan page on Facebook.
I did see that, like war protesters and that kind of stuff.
Well, yeah, you know, just kind of like demanding a withdrawal plan from Afghanistan by a certain date, and that's really kind of gone viral on that. So, you know, we'll see how that, you know, what kind of effect that has. Because they listen, because the White House listens to, you know, social media. In fact, we got to meet the, what was that, the Director of Public Engagement. I forget what the title was, but, you know, they got a whole office over there.
Well, with all the big news going on, one thing that I was really surprised about is that I didn't see Twitter go down once.
What, today?
Right.
It didn't go down once for me either, even though I saw lots of, like, buzz about Twitter's been inundated with traffic and whatever, but no, I never had any issues with it.
Yeah.
That's odd, because the other night, it was about 11:30 or midnight or so, I got the fail whale in the middle of the night, and I thought, oh, no.
Maybe they're in the middle of setting up extra servers to handle the bandwidth. I don't know.
It's like the light crew or whatever, the road crew, you know, setting up for the big concert. You know?
Definitely.
What else is going on? What else is in the news here?
There is a video circulating around called Google Existence. Existence with starting with an X instead of an E.
Mm-hmm.
When you watch it, what it shows you is this new service from Google that basically automates your social media life for you. So you can spend your time doing better things. Mm. It's a parody. It's not really a hoax. It's not a phishing scheme. But if you go to the website, which I can't remember off the top of my head, it looks like a Google website. And there's a login page and everything. But it's not a phishing scheme because they won't let you add any information into the login.
Right. Okay,
You can't type your username and password.
So it's a good little video.
Yeah, it's really just a clever parody. They may have pulled off the website a little too well.
I know some social media gurus who would love to put a workshop on that to show you how to use this tool so you can be more efficient at your business and automate your social presence. They have them out there. They're real. I think there's one next week. Yeah.
Seriously? So
that they seriously have these workshops to do that, yes. That they'll actually use this fake tool or present it as a parody, I don't know. But to me, that seems to be right in line with what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see how robotic we can possibly be. Oh, Domo arigato, you know?
I did see that. So, hey, did you guys catch any of the Edelman trust barometer type information yesterday?
I missed out on that.
Okay. I'm going to, judging by me and Matthew's faces right now, I'm going to say, no, Dave, edify us.
Well, Edelman puts out this trust barometer. They've been doing it. I think they're coming up on, but this is year 10, I believe. And they do a whole bunch of surveying and try and find out what people, trust, what they do. And so there were some interesting things to come out of that. A couple of them that I'd like to share, which I just did with as a guest speaker over at a class on entrepreneurship over at the University of Memphis. One was the fact that Chinese citizens trust American-based businesses more than Americans. That's sad. Yeah. But the other thing, another key point on there was the fact that it used to be that people trusted successful companies that were very profitable. They trusted them a lot. Now, how profitable a company is doesn't seem to be much of an indicator of trust. That's not a concern anymore. And so that's kind of slid down. Some of the other things are, you know, with regard to how well a company engages not only with its shareholders but with its employees, and seem to be more important as well as community involvement, more significant than profitability. So I thought that was good. That was good. They've taken probably about 40 minutes worth of video and sliced it down into little 40-second to 2-minute bite-sized chunks. So they've got one chunk there about China, one about Europe, so that you can go check out this one page that has all these different little videos on there, so you can kind of check it out a bite at a time. You know, you don't have to eat the whole bag. You know, you can stop at just a few. So it's very good, and there's a lot of talk about that. And what people trust as far as their sources, do they trust blogs, people like themselves? A lot of very interesting statistics there. So check that out. Yeah. the trust barometer from Edelman. What is up with the top priority for marketers? You got some statistics here.
Yeah, apparently they are hip to the fact that social networking is kind of important, maybe. Yeah, so mostly I thought this story was just kind of funny because it's like social is a top priority for marketers in 2010. Crazy. And it just seemed so, I guess it seems obvious for somebody like myself who's so immersed in this all the time. But yes, apparently, you know, senior marketers worldwide, 45.4% of them say that social networks and applications are their top priority in 2010 in terms of marketing campaigns.
Which some people will tell you what that means is run for your life. It's a.
I would tend to agree.
You know, it's, I think, you know, this is part of what we're going to wind up seeing, you know, kind of trashing the network a little bit due to some bad habits that are hard to break. And no doubt that will kind of reduce the value that we're seeing there right now. And so that'll kind of have to balance out. Ultimately, it's just part of what's going to have to happen, I guess, for us to kind of realize, you know, the promise of what we hope to see here. So, you know, put on your helmets and, you know, dig your foxholes and burrow in. Here we go. All right. So hey, Beth Sanders.
That's right.
Is with us today, and we've recorded a little segment with her earlier, and she's an uber geek. She really is. She calls herself a geek, and she really does. She's outstanding also, and look forward to having her, injecting her, what would you call that segment into the show here.
Our guest this week is Beth Sanders, who is a communications strategist. Welcome to the expedition.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
It's awesome. Now, you know, I think do we have you on here some version of a podcast or something before, or some MP3s that
we did.
I think we had her on the radio show we used to do.
Okay.
We did. That's okay. Right. The Saturday morning show.
That's what it was. Yes. A little segment on there. Right. That small biz show thing. Well, hey, welcome to the expedition.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you know, we've graduated here. So now this is 30 minutes of all the social media fun you can manage.
It's a little bit easier to get everything in.
And the sound quality is much better than that little MP3 recorder I had at the time. So getting right into things, tell us a little bit about who you are and what kind of stuff you do.
I'm Beth Sanders. I do just anything communications related. Still a little bit of print design, social media, a freelance writer and editor, and anything that has to do with words or images or pictures, I pretty much am into it.
Words, images, or pictures. When you say that, what comes to mind is, I think a discussion I saw recently on Facebook where you were talking about commas and whatnot. So if there's going to be a debate about commas and punctuation or whatever, I think you're definitely in for it.
I'm going to be in it. And it's strange because I don't really have formal training. I'm not an English major, but I just, it's always just been something that I really cannot tolerate. I'm tempted to vandalize a sign that I see with a scare quote or a misplaced comma.
A scare quote?
Yeah, just a quote for emphasis rather than a quote because it's a quote.
Okay, I see. You know, I do have to confess, Beth, that I have deleted and backspaced through many exclamation marks after knowing how much you don't like them.
Multiple exclamation points?
Oh, never.
I hate them.
My wife basically has this theory that everybody should be given an allotment of exclamation points that they can use throughout their life.
And
like
I would
maybe 20.
I would say that would be one.
Absolutely. And you know, back to the scare quotes thing, my favorite is recently as friends are getting married, I find that they are on Facebook putting their maiden name in quotation marks.
No.
And I'm like, well, is it pretend? Is it hypothetical? Or is it your nickname?
No.
Because they just have no concept of what they're doing. And so it's like Katie Smith with the little quotation marks and then the new last name. It drives
not
me crazy.
For emphasis,
now, were the names changed to protect the innocent there, or is Katie Smith really?
I do not know a Katie Smith.
Okay.
No.
So I'm sure Katie Smith, there is a Katie Smith.
I'm sure there is. And you just insulted her.
She is so mad at me right now.
Well, so on the social side of things, I think we were talking, I kind of made me refer to you as the poster child of the early adopters.
Absolutely.
You know? If there's something new out there, we know you've tried it. And we
it's a geeky pleasure of mine.
So speaking of that, what you've been diving into lately?
Foursquare, Whirl, Gowalla, Looped, and CauseWorld. Five location-based services. CauseWorld is unique in that you check in and you get karma points. 10 karma points for every time you check in. And every time you accumulate points, you can use it to donate. Kraft Foods and City, I think it's Citibank or Citibank, actually put up $500,000. And they're the sponsors. But as you check in and get karma points, you just click a little button on the iPhone and it donates. And they have donated, I think today's the last day that they donate. They double the karmas to donate to Haiti relief. Hmm. So that one I've been kind of using a lot just because I feel like there's some real good to come of it. The others are just fun and geekery. So,
well, we've never checked into CauseWorld, but the karma level here is normally runs a little bit high, and I know just by you being here today, you know, you've kind of bumped us up a few notches.
Good
so,
to know.
So appreciate that.
Good to know.
So on Foursquare, I know when you came in here, you asked, you made mention, you noted Matthew's the mayor, and you were going to kick him out of office.
I'm going to kick him out of office.
Now, how does one do that?
Well, for me, I guess I'll have to stalk in the parking lot and just pull up in the parking lot and check in.
So, what, do you check in more times than the current mayor?
You check in more times, and then you are crowned the mayor.
I think you just have to get more points in one place. Actually,
okay.
I don't think it really works in terms of like. Because Foursquare gives you bonus points for like your first check-in of the day, for
if you create
getting a badge
it, if you
sort.
Create the spot, if you add it, then you get points for that too.
Yeah, so I mean, it edges you towards being the mayor of that place.
Now, so what happens when LunaWeb moves down the street? Nobody's the mayor. Because it goes by your actual location.
You
right?
can't do that. Actually, that might be my opening, right?
Yeah,
I'm not, in there first and,
yeah, I'm
and
not sure what happens to the old location, but the new location will probably start fresh.
Yeah, start okay. over. And it resets every night, your points and the leaderboard. There's a leaderboard board that, you know, tells you where you are among your friends and among the people in your area, and it resets every Sunday night. So there's kind of no point checking in on Sunday because you're going to lose it by Sunday night anyway.
What was the other location-based service that you said, Walla?
Gowalla. Gowalla is probably, I think Foursquare and Gowalla, I would think, are the top two. And Gowalla has a really probably cooler interface, but Foursquare has the just more, I think, more widespread acceptance. There are even, in some bigger cities like New York and San Francisco, there are even restaurants and bars that'll give you walk in with your phone and prove you're the mayor, and they'll give you a free drink or whatever.
So that's pretty cool.
So did you just tweet or by
you can
by checking in
you can
on Foursquare?
You can choose, you know, you can just click I want to tell Facebook and I want to tell Twitter. So
you can do it without having to blast everybody.
No, you don't have to blast every
right.
time.
Oh, okay. Well, that could be good.
I'm not a blaster.
I make a point only to send it to Twitter if, like, it's something that I think is really cool and I would like to see more people at.
Yeah.
Like, last time I checked in at the High Tone, it was, like, my friend Simile's show, like, her first show in months. And, you know, there was nobody there. But she's really good. And so, like, I sent an update out with a little bit of what they call a shout. So basically, there's a little message that says a little bit more than, hey, I'm at the High Tone.
Well, if it's something you would tweet anyway.
Great.
If it's not something I'd tweet anyway, you know, I don't tell everybody that I'm at Schnucks because nobody cares. I don't even care, so.
I gotcha. Okay. All right. So, any recommendations out there as far as some things that you've looked at here recently that you really suggest somebody go check out?
Well, CauseWorld would be the first one. You know, I think I did a blog post about that, but my website, BethGSanders.com, by the way. I think I did a blog post about that because, you know, all these little services are fun, but that one you can actually do some good. And you can pick from a number of different causes. So I checked that out.
Great.
iPhone app.
Okay, now where is this again? Beth?
BethGSanders.com.
The letter G.
The letter G.
Okay. Well, let's kind of talk about like some of these other in-person type things that you've been indulging in, both here in Memphis, and then I understand you just went to a workshop down in Alabama.
I did. I went to, it's called Word Chalk, and I went to Birmingham, took a long day trip, and went to Birmingham for 4 hours of advanced WordPress training with Tammy Hart down there, who's very knowledgeable It was a great afternoon. There's WordPress is one of those things that you really don't know how much there is to it until you start to get into it. The more you learn, the more you realize there is to learn about. Kind of like Photoshop that way. The more you learn, the more you realize there is to learn, and there's just a lot you can do with it that's outside of just what you think of as a normal blog.
Fantastic. So, you know, a lot of people may not realize the flexibility of a blog. What are some things that really stand out that people may not know about that you can do with a
blog? Well, what I like about it is that you can be as geeky or not as you wish. I know people who have done a free WordPress.com blog, and they don't know anything about any CSS or HTML or anything at all, and have a great time blogging. And, you know, I bought my own domain and set it up and host it myself, and have done quite a bit of customization on the look and the feel of the site.
It looks great.
Thank you.
I love your look and feel.
Thank you very much.
Really, it looks nice.
It's overdue for the yearly redesign.
Now, you know, you're the one that's going to think that first, more than anybody else, because you're looking at it all the time.
That's probably true. Okay. That's probably true. It's kind of like my cooking.
Be careful now.
I finish the meal and sit down, and I don't want to eat it. So it's kind of the same idea. But it's very flexible. It allows you also to do things that I'm not a programmer, although I'm trying to learn. But it allows me to do things that it would take me forever to learn how to actually program to do. There are widgets and plugins and just different things. One site that I did, we had a countdown to the event. Simple thing, but you'd really have to know how to be a pretty advanced programmer to do that yourself, at least advanced for me. But there's a very simple widget to do that, and really it's very quick to install. So just lots of different things like that you can do that you wouldn't know how to do. You don't have to know how to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So when you're playing around with these things, do you have like a sandbox website over on the side? You do? Okay.
Absolutely do.
Okay.
Not going to tell you what it is. But I do. I do, because it just kind of lets me play around, use it for demos. I used it when I spoke at BarCamp. I used it there to kind of go through the WordPress backend and demonstrate some things. So,
what an awesome segue. Tell us about BarCamp.
BarCamp is an unconference, which means it's not your regular conference where you go and you sit all day and just you listen to what they tell you to. You actually, the morning sessions are generally planned out in advance, but the afternoon sessions you can vote on. The participants vote, and the sessions that get the most votes actually win. So basically you can have a say in what you want to hear about. I like the thing I like about BarCamp and Social Camp and all the camps that we've done that I've been to, is that it's a very casual environment. I mean, I'm a freelancer, work on my own. I don't go around in suits. Everybody's just casually dressed. There's no pressure. Networking is great. Very friendly, very open. Exchange of information, you know. And you just meet a lot of like-minded people, and it's really a good time and learn some stuff, too.
When you say that we've done, you know, because you've been on the planning committee of, two bar camps now?
Two social camps.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And the part that you've been working on there was working with organizations to give us
the swag.
Swag.
Yeah, and I got to mention Carolyn Baum, my sister in swag. She's listening, Carolyn. Sorry, should have turned it on vibrate.
No problem.
No sweat.
So just to let you know, we are putting together Tribe Camp
for
April 24th, which I understand unfortunately has a conflict with your schedule.
It does have a conflict.
But yeah, so that's another Launch Memphis event. And on the Launch Memphis note, last week we had Eric Matthews here with us. And, you know, he's in it. He's just how he spends most of his day, one of the founders, the president. But how do you... What could you say about Launch Memphis as a participant, both in putting things together and then also just going to some of the events?
I love I've lived in Memphis since 1981, and I love the new it feels kind of new to me recently, the positive energy that I see. And I think that Eric is instrumental in kind of getting that going. I see Eric's tweets. If you follow Eric on Twitter, EC Matthews with one T. You follow Eric on Twitter, everything he posts about Memphis is positive, and there's always something, you know, good to do and some reason to be looking up in Memphis. And that's most exciting to me because I don't see myself moving from here anytime soon. And I like the community, and I like my life here.
We certainly enjoy you're here. You know, I regard you as one of the, you know, expeditionaries, going back to when we were, you know, had the very first tweet up.
I remember that.
You know, and, you know, the early days of the social media expedition, as we were calling it back then. Mm-hmm. And so thanks so much for your participation in that.
Thank you.
You made a great difference in there, both in making it happen as well as your support of it and helping, you know, helping get the word out about it.
Thanks a lot.
And, yeah, so tell us where to find you again.
BethGSanders.com. Mm-hmm. On Twitter, I'm Beth G. Sanders, and I'm on Facebook as well, so look me up.
Now, any thoughts on today's, of course, you know, we're recording this a little bit early, but, you know, the big Apple news on the tablet real quick? Any
sigh.
Dreamy, harpy thoughts?
Just a heavy sigh. Yeah, I'm okay. Hearing harps in the background. I am well in the center of the reality distortion field, as I say.
Okay. Well, Beth, thanks so much for coming out today. We really, really enjoy having you here.
Thanks a lot.
Cool.
So we didn't talk about cupcakes when Beth was here, but there's some cupcake mania going on. I noticed there's like cupcake joints popping up all over the place.
People love cupcakes.
You know, I would like cupcakes if they were like maybe about half the size of what they are now so that I could just pop one in my mouth whole.
They do make those. They're called mini cupcakes.
But yeah, a little bit bigger than the minis, you know.
Maybe you should make your own, invent your own cupcake size.
Yeah, okay.
You see a hole in the market, Dave. I think that most people would tell you, you know, that's a space for invention.
So we got new cupcake joints popping up all over Memphis, it seems like. And,
yes.
You know, we want to support those local companies.
Yes.
And then you found something here about Haiti.
Yeah, this is just kind of neat. This little kid here in Memphis wanted to raise money for Haiti, and he's going to be 9 on February 15th, and so he wanted to raise $900 before his 9th birthday, and so he's selling cupcakes, and I just thought it was kind of cool, cupcakes for Haiti. So he's got like a nice little following on Facebook, more than 230 fans, more than last time I looked, and they're just around Memphis at various locations, and they're posting it there, selling cupcakes to raise money.
Wow.
To send to Haiti Relief. So I just thought it was cool, local kid. It's always nice to see kids doing big stuff, and everybody loves cupcakes and, you know, Haiti Relief. I mean, it's just great.
So if we get on Facebook and search for Cupcakes for Haiti.
That's right.
We'll find them, and you say, once you get on that fan page,
they'll tell you
where.
Yeah, they'll tell you where they're going to be selling.
Well, that's interesting. Well, that's good. I like this one here, this Pucker Up Lemon Drop.
Yeah, I mean, they look delicious. I don't know if you can see the picture on there, but...
You know, I could handle a few cupcakes and a big old glass of 2% low-fat milk. I could do some damage.
Got to get that low-fat in there.
Yeah.
Low-fat with your cupcakes.
Well, gee, with that, don't forget, you know, next week is February already. And on the, was it the 3rd?
The 3rd. That's right, the 3rd.
The breakfast?
We will be having our breakfast. And I heard that the speaker is...
Me. Amen, hallelujah. Because it's... there's so much talk about the social being used for advertising and for marketing and PR. It has so many other applications. So I want to try and shed some light on that and get folks to start looking at how they can start using those tools internally.
And that was a huge topic in our breakout sessions at our last breakfast.
Lame.
So I'm never going to be cleared for that.
That's
comment.
Right.
But we also have a core conversation this Friday, and that is happening at the same time, same place as usual, 11:30 mm-hmm. Friday on Blog Talk Radio. And you can find out more about that by following SM Expedition on Twitter. We're going to be talking about what to do if you get hacked. So definitely join us to talk about that.
Mm-hmm. Dun, dun, dun. All right. We'll see you then.
All right, everybody have a good week.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
The Social Expedition podcast is produced at the offices of LunaWeb, a Memphis leader in web development and social media, online at lunaweb.com. Your hosts are Dave Barger, Elizabeth Kaywine, and Matthew Crawford Trissler, who edits the podcast. Our theme music is The Year Before the War by Eric Maskell, available at ericmaskell.com. For more information about the Social Expedition, including links mentioned during the podcast, visit socialexpedition.com. Thanks for listening.
You know, you don't have to eat the whole bag. You know, you can stop at just a few. So it's very good.